It's Thursday, the 26th of September, you bad motherfuckers. Greetings from Podcastville. The Church of What's Happened Now is brought to you by my bookie. Listen, we're going on week three, week four. I don't fucking know. If you find the yardstick on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Obviously, you'd bend over and pick it up. So why do you keep picking winners and you're not betting them? Let me tell you something. There's no more fucking calling your bookie and talking in code and the gray cavalier. I got the answer to all your fucking dilemmas. My bookie. Listen, it's easy and they pay when you win. Let's face it. Where you're betting is as important as who you're betting on, correct? If you're trying to bet on the NFL, baseball, MMA, whatever, my bookie's got it. So do me a favor right now. Double your first deposit today. Use promo code CHURCH, C-H-U-R-C-H, to get 100% bonus on your initial deposit up to $1,000. Who's better than you? Nobody. Visit mybookie.ag today. That's mybookie.ag. And don't forget to use promo code CHURCH when creating your account to claim the bonus. And tomorrow, check my Instagram at Matt Flavors World. I'm dropping a video from my bookie to teach you a few things. The Church is also brought to you by Upstart. Listen, it's very easy to get into debt, but it's even harder to get out of debt, especially when your credit score is not great. Upstart could help you. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score. Your Upstart interest rate is based on your education and job history, not your credit score. Listen, it's time to consolidate your debt and put it into one monthly payment with Upstart. Today, right now, see why Upstart is ranked number one in that category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. Hurry to upstart.com/church, C-H-U-R-C-H, to find out how low your Upstate rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. Upstart.com/church. The Church is also brought to you by my personal favorite, Onnit. Listen, starting today, right now when I talk to you, if you order a 30-count or a 90-count Alpha Brain or the powder, they're going to send you a raffle ticket. It's going to automatically win like a coupon, or you might win a kettlebell or something like that. But it also registers you for the Onnit experience. You're like, Joey, what's the Onnit experience? 4 days in Austin, Texas. They fly you down there. You stay at the Onnit house. They train you. They give you one-on-one, two one-on-ones. They take you to a barbecue joint. They give you $500 cash. Plus, they give you Total Human for 1 year, Alpha Brain for 1 year, a set of kettlebells, club bells. Listen, go to Onnit.com right now and press in.
Church.
And get your Alpha Brain right now. That's their flagship product. It works with memory and focus, and it's the way to go. Go to Onnit.com right now and get some Alpha Brain and register. Take it into the Onnit house. Lee, kick this motherfucking mule. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's a Thursday morning, motherfuckers. Let's do this.
You need cooling.
April Macy.
Baby, I'm not fooling.
The Christ Killer.
I'm gonna send you.
Uncle Joey.
Back to school. Way down inside. Honey, you need it. I'm gonna give you my love.
Just don't do it like this no more. Just don't do it like this no more.
A whole lot of love.
Where the fuck you been, April Mason?
Oh, I've been traveling. I've been on the road since 2006. My face has been on the road every weekend, almost.
I always knew that you did a lot of the troops and all that stuff.
Yeah, I've been to 67 countries.
Wow.
Iraq, Saudi, Kuwait, Djibouti. I've been to Korea 4 times. Almost got beat up by a store owner who accused me of being too fat to fit his garments. And then Ida had to step in and save me from this Korean man who wanted to beat me down in his store.
Jesus. Did you go with Steve Simone? Because I know he did a lot of those tours.
No, I've always done like lady tours. A lot of lady tours.
And you really like him.
I do.
I've seen pictures of you shooting guns. And
I didn't hit anything. I was like, oh, what did I hit? And the guy was like, nothing, ma'am. You didn't hit a thing.
I'll never forget, like, when I first met you. And, you know, I mean, you're still very beautiful. And I remember bumping into you and another friend of mine. And you're like, yeah, we're going over there to do tours. And I'm like, I feel so bad for these soldiers.
Hi, I brought my tits over. They were happy.
April Mace is going to go to, she's a backbreaker. You know what I'm saying? Those soldiers are going to go fucking AWOL. It's like that one fucking soldier in Apocalypse Now when they landed. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And they threw him off the helicopter. Those are guys when you leave. I'm coming with you.
Oh, I would have brought a few back.
No, I know.
There are a few handsome fellas.
You kept going. I'm like, she must be going over there just torturing these people.
I never banged one. I never banged one, but there was one in a commissary where I was like, oh, yeah, that's the one I'd sit on his face. That's the one.
Are you allowed? Do they tell you not to?
I mean, you just don't. I don't know if any other ladies did, but I didn't want to like sneak off in a base in Iraq with my helmet and my Kevlar vest and just pound some stranger. Seemed like not appropriate.
When you do these things, are you scared at all? Anything?
I was only scared in Saudi because, like, when you do Iraq, you're on U.S. military bases and installations, and they do all the clearance, and you're flying in Black Hawks, and there's, like, dudes that are, you know, they have a bunch of guns on them. But when you go to Saudi, you're just, like, with this Korean dude who's your MWR rep taking you to downtown Riyadh. And then some guy came up to me in downtown Riyadh, and he's like, you steal, I'll cut your hands off. And I was like, oh, you can just say that to a white-faced lady in Saudi. So I was a little scared. I was a little more scared because you're not on base and they can't have uniformed soldiers with you at all. So you're just whatever MWR rep you get.
Jesus Christ. You do clubs and then mix in.
I mean, I've traveled throughout. I've done like shows in Europe and Australia and Southeast Asia. And then every state here, I'm always peddling my dick jokes from town to town.
Now you've been in every state, all 52?
Yeah, really? All states.
50?
Yeah,
50. I think I'm missing a couple. I'm missing Hawaii. You do all those.
I've done them all. Montana. You've never done Hawaii?
No.
Okay. I did
Hawaii,
like...
I've done New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma. I don't think I've been to Arkansas.
Okay. Done some weird shows in Little Rock.
Mississippi, I did. Yeah. No, I did Little Rock.
Yeah, so see, there you go.
I did Little Rock, the Funny Bone.
I think you'd be surprised if you go through and you're like, oh, I think I probably have at some point in your life.
I knew I was close years ago. Yeah. I knew there were just a couple states missing, but now, because I even went to Alaska.
Yeah, no, I did Alaska, but it was my last one.
Charlie's. Like a motherfucker.
I did some weird theater, but I think like some El DeBarge cover band was in town and we got upstaged by some weird cover band that our show was a real stinker.
It's a fun town, Alaska. Yeah. Now that you remind me, I gotta get a theater.
It was beautiful.
It is fucking beautiful.
I wanted to do some dog sleds.
And the fish is fucking delicious.
Yeah, right out
of there. There was a place right across that grilled fish for you. It was still flapping. No Japanese people. They were white. They were just cooking. Big fat dudes ate fish all fucking day. But I remember that I went up there with a stripper.
Okay.
I dated a stripper at the time.
Yeah.
This is 95 when I went to Alaska. 96, I opened up with Todd Jordan. He's still a dear friend of mine. And we stayed at the condo. But the big attraction was the strip club there.
Okay.
Because in 95, there was... 3 women to every 1 man.
Oh, wow.
There was some statistic in those years, if you look it up.
I think it might be the other way around.
People were moving to Alaska because there was tons of pussy.
Yeah.
And nobody to fuck it. And what happens is, when the ships come in, those chicks make $20,000 a night.
Really?
Yeah, when the fishing boats or the sailors or something. That was the reputation. So I dated a stripper.
Yeah.
And... half the girls from Seattle at that time. We were living in Seattle myself. Josh Wolf, a couple of us were living up there. And she was saying that just how, if you live in Seattle, or in, I think up in, let's just keep it a Pacific Northwest so I don't get fucking, you could, if you're a young man and you're in shape, you get a job on a fishing.
For a few months.
For a few months. It's dangerous work, but people approach me. When I lived in Seattle, tons of work.
Your money and come back.
Yeah, you go out for 30 days, you come back with, I don't know, 10 grand. I'm just throwing a number out there. Something that you would not make if you worked 2 jobs here.
Yeah.
You just went for 60 days and you come back.
Got your cash.
And then people would just get addicted. You know, 60 days, $20,000. You work for 60 days.
Yeah.
You shit in a little room, you smell feet, you just smell ass. Just a bunch of dudes. But you sacrifice. You almost, you know, if you watch that show, what's that?
The King Crab Fisherman? King Crab and the all that. Deadliest Catch?
Deadliest Catch, yeah. That was an option for men, for the strippers in Seattle.
Just wait it out.
They would get flown up to Alaska. The club would come to Seattle and go, give me the 10 hottest bitches, because they want, when the ships come in, whatever it was, whether it was the big fishing boats or the service, I don't know what it is, so don't quote me. They wanted the chicks to be ready up there.
Yeah, you're all horned up if you've been on a boat with dudes fish all day.
And they have cash.
Yeah. And it was like the strip club was like a downstairs, but it looked like an old hooker house. Like they would have VIP rooms and then they would stand outside. And it was a pretty neat place. And yeah. I don't even like strip
clubs. Like an old brothel?
I'm not a strip club guy. Yeah. It was like an old brothel style. But that's all I remember from fucking Alaska. The Choku Charlie's. Just dying.
I just got some boots. That's all I remember. There were titties. Just I bought a pair of boots. Yeah. Some winter boots.
So like, as people have been doing it a while, for a new comic, do you guys wish you had spent more time traveling in all these places? Because not many people get to go to every 50 state. Like, that's like a weird thing that comics get to do, and it doesn't seem that weird, but like, do you wish you had experienced more of these places, or are you just...
No, I feel like if it's a good city, if I'm going to some shithole, you're like, oh, I'm just going to hide out in my Courtyard Marriott and eat snacks off my tits all day. But I feel like if you're in a good city, you always go and... Because most people want to show you around, especially if you're going to a comedy club or you're doing a military thing, you're like climbing on planes or they're having you run with... the drug dogs that bite people. Like, I feel like you're always involved in some shenanigans on the road. I feel like I've done a ton of shit.
Okay.
I don't feel like I've laid down enough in the last 17 years.
I really like you.
Yeah.
And I know that when you travel, you really enjoy yourself.
No.
But you yourself have met other people that you know they travel so that they seem interesting.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers I don't like.
I just like travel.
I like to travel, but I don't. I'm scared of international travel, just on a personal level.
Are you?
Don't trust it.
Really?
I went to Jamaica. I saw the chickens. I wouldn't eat food.
Okay.
I starve myself in those countries. I don't like...
Is there anywhere like that you would want to go?
I love to go to England.
Okay.
Really?
I love to see like Birmingham, England. I love to see like the studios.
Oh, okay.
Where they recorded Pink Floyd albums and Led Zeppelin and all that stuff. I'd love to go to the motherland, Ireland.
Okay.
I'd love to go to Israel and go to the wall and pray and meet some hard-hitting Jews that don't fuck around.
Let me plan a trip for you to Ireland and the UK.
I think I'd like to go. I got no passport. Remember, I got 89 felonies. So that's the
so they won't.
I'm like your husband.
All right.
For me to travel, I could travel.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's going to cost me and a year of courts and downtown and paperwork.
Okay.
And at the end of the week, how much do I really want to travel?
Not that much.
You know,
much.
When people travel, the first thing I say to them is, how is the food? You know?
Well, England's kind of shitty.
I don't trust nothing. I don't trust people over here. Can you imagine me in another fucking country? That's how I'd lose weight.
Just gobble.
Take me to another country.
I'll gobble anything. You give me a food cart. You give me a man with dirty hands. I'll eat whatever. You know, like, I never get sick.
I see where Anthony Bourdain used to go and the chubby little gay dude.
Yeah.
That eats creepy shit.
Yeah.
You know, that shit drives me crazy. I walk down the street, I see a chicken's leg.
You're not going to do
it. Dipping it in barbecue sauce. I'm on a plane.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I'll try it.
I get creeped out by all that stuff. But I will tell you my personal opinion on something, and whether you agree with me or not. I love the United States of America. Yeah. And when I became a comic, the thought of going to some places, always, like, you have these predisposition, like, oh, I saw this on TV, Alabama, they hate black people, and you can't be out after midnight, whatever you may think. And today, one of the things that makes me the happiest about being a comic is that before I could look you in the face and go, oh, my God, Con last year. Where were all these jerk-offs from Hollywood? Good Con. Ibiza, Ibiza, whatever the fuck these fucking mooks go to. Before you're allowed to go to Ibiza, I want you to go to North Dakota.
Okay.
I want you to go to South Dakota.
I've been.
You see what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
I want you to go to... You know, like northern Minnesota, where people off go fishing and offer you that hollow that fish that they have that special, but then they're mad at Wisconsin has a fish, and they'll tell you, you know, I went to all those places, and I had the best times of my life, and there was no cocaine involved. Later on that night, I'm sure I hooked up with the bartender or something. But one of the things that makes me proudest about being a comic is that I could look you in the eye and tell you this is a fucking beautiful country and the people that live in it. Like, I went to Texas a couple weeks ago, and Texas people, motherfucking Texas people.
Texas barbecue.
Then you go to Pittsburgh, and they got a certain flavor. Yeah. Then you go to Chicago, and Chicago people are alive, Jack. Yeah. Like, you know, they're alive. And then you go to San Francisco, and everybody's kind of weird and hippie-ish. So every place has this identity. So the country's gorgeous. Like, I've cop coke in Snake River, South Dakota. The one Mexican dishwasher. We made eye contact when it was all over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know how strangers fall in love in the night? I knew he was a drug dealer when we made contact. He was the only Mexican at the South Dakota. We made eye contact. When he came by, I said, ¿Cómo está? And he was all excited. You're Latino. He took me to his house for dinner. He was the only Spanish guy in like a 12-mile region. He got stuck up there because his wife was in the Army.
Okay.
So he moved from like New York. And he saw me, invited me to his house, got me weed, got me coke, amphetamines. I mean, and I still, you know, and it's a fucking weird story, but it just goes to show you.
Everybody's great around. People, I feel like people, everybody has the same set of wants and needs and set of emotions, and you want to feel loved and accepted no matter where you go. But that's how I feel about other countries, other than the language barrier.
They don't hate us in France.
No, I mean, France is a little snooty. Like, I was in Paris one time, and I asked how far the walk was to the Eiffel Tower, and the woman that it was like an expensive hotel. I'm like, bitch, just answer the question. She was like, I do not know. I do not know how fast you walk. And I was like, what about this? Like a medium pace. How long do you think it'll take me at a medium pace, you dumb coos? Like, I feel like France is a little snotty, but most places, like Mediterranean's very warm. Italians are very warm. The Swiss are nice people. Like, I feel like Malaysia was lovely. I had a lovely Uber driver in Malaysia. I feel like you have conversations with these people, and everybody wants to see their kids do well and wants love and wants a better life for their family.
In Italy, are the men handsy?
They're a little grabby.
They're grabby.
They're real grabby.
Friend went. He goes, "I never go there again."
They're little.
And he's Italian. Yeah. He was like, "Grease me, motherfuckers! They touch your wife. They always
what?"
They're more aggressive. Yeah. And I find because I own a bar in Florence, Italy, with my husband, ours is like the non-rapey bar. Apparently, there's like a few rapey bars where Italian, like older Italian dudes, just kind of lurk outside and wait for the college students to like come. You know. Stumbling out to find out who's the weak one. Wait for it. Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know you owned the bar in Italy.
Yeah, we bought a bar and restaurant in Florence.
You do comedy there?
No.
You're like Artie Bucco's wife.
I just sit and drink. I drink a lot more.
What kind of food?
American fare, because there's like 15,000 American students. The Get Lucky Bar and Restaurant in Florence. It's just an American bar.
You don't have hummus on the menu, do you?
No, we don't. We have fried macaroni and cheese balls.
That's why I love you.
Potato skins.
Your Polish
skins.
Roots always stayed with you. You always maintained some type of pride. Fucking Polish people are tough. You never seen like the organization of Polish concerned citizens?
No.
Lobbying outside like a Barnes and Nobles. Because they sell Polish joke books.
They're just taking a hockey stick to the head a lot.
There's 100 Polish joke books.
Nobody gives a shit.
And not one Polish person has ever raised their hand.
No.
But black people want reparations. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants something.
It's a little different joke books in slavery. But... yeah.
Then how to change a light bulb jokes. Yeah.
Still the same. They profited off fucking.
That's true.
You know. It's still the same. Every fucking race has suffered.
And I feel like a lot of alcoholism in Polish families. I feel like I'm just riddled, just chock full of alcoholics in our family. Strong Polish stock.
It's crazy because my ex-wife was Polish and I was around their family for 6 years. And they really rubbed off on me. They were very influential in who I am today. The father was self-made. I think he went into the army first, and he didn't like how he was treated because he was Polish. Mm-hmm. It was like the 40s or 50s, and he got out and got a job at Fisher-Price or something, and then he went to college. He went to the University of Buffalo because he was so ashamed of how Polish people were treated. Mm-hmm. They used to call him Dumpajasz, which means dumbass or donkey or something like that. So you could tell he always went for intelligence. Like, yeah. I met him right before I went to prison, mm-hmm. and he didn't fucking like me. Before yeah. I got in trouble, he wouldn't pay attention to me. But I would always read these magazines that he had, these Air Force magazines, and he would go take them with you. They were great. They were great articles. Yeah. So we became kind of tight because I read mm-hmm. because of his love. But I got to really meet him, and I understood what his whole motivation was. He didn't like how Polish people were portrayed.
Yeah.
And he wanted to change that, you know. And that's why we were laughing earlier that he changed his name. But when we get together with the rest of the family, they would hate on that side of the family that changed their name because they kept the Kruszynski name yeah. or the whatever. You know, Pat Benatar is half a Polak.
Really?
You ever see her last name?
Mine's Maciejczyk.
Yeah, like they're fucking, these names are huge.
It's a lot. It's a lot of.
But I really respect Polish people because I learned a lot from that family. They were first, second generation Polish or something. You know, I learned all the dishes. I learned the language. My ex-wife had two brothers that were world-class skiers. Mm-hmm. But just didn't have, they were Polish.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the motivation to, they'd rather be on a roof and drink.
Yeah, that's that sounds like most of my uncles.
They were blue collar, but I learned something from them. One weekend we all went skiing.
Yeah.
And I'm a no frills type of guy. I don't like looking like something. Yeah. You ever go to a comedy show and the comic's got a suit on with sneakers?
Yeah.
Ooh, you know. Ooh. You're so cutting edge.
On a Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know. I've always hated outfits. That's why I don't like the hats, with the goatee and the earring. I still got the same head do I had in high school. There's no markings. Yeah. You know, when I get arrested, they got nothing. They always look for that one scar, the knife scar. There's nothing. I don't need for you to know who the fuck I am by putting two earrings in my eyeballs. You know what I'm saying?
Do you remember that guy it was a comic that used to bring his own microphone, and he would unscrew and then put like an old-timey microphone for essentially open mics. You're like, what is this guy fucking doing with his life? Do you remember that dude?
I remember the story, but I can't picture the guy's name.
Who is this bag of dicks just bring his own gold fucking microphone for a 3-minute spot?
But I remember my brother-in-laws took me. We weren't brother-in-laws yet. I was dating their sister. And I went to Breckenridge with them one day. It was like a 2-hour drive from Boulder or something, I think. I don't know. And we went to this tournament. When we got there, all these people had on, I swear to God, it was beautiful. They had on suits and the expensive goggles and the fucking retard helmets. And it was 1987. It's 1986. Nobody gave a fuck about a bump to the head then. Everybody was getting hit on the head. Now, the next day, I can't remember. I can't take it no more. You know, for 2,000 years, they've been playing football. All of a sudden now, I hear people. I'm going to shoot somebody. What the fuck they're saying. And I'll never forget that. It was like, I don't know. I could be exaggerating. Let's say 25 people in this competition. And they all had the expensive gear and sponsored by whoever. My brother-in-law basically took their sneakers off. You know, roofer jeans, a t-shirt, and a fucking flannel. Aww. They put goggles on, no retard helmet, nothing.
Yeah. Just they headed right down.
Joe was his name. And in Polish, is Juju.
Yeah.
If your name is Joe, Juju or something like that. So he went up there, broke the record. They gave him a trophy. He threw the skis in the back, and he got in his truck.
And drove away.
Yeah. And he used to drive with a bong. In 1986, he already had a bong in the car, and he would bring a gallon of water. And he would fill it with the bong. He was heavy. My brother-in-law, Joe, I still think about him. But all those little things, their work ethic,
yeah.
They drank all night.
That's most of my family. Like my that dad, work ethic. My dad's still working.
I love all 60, that shit.
64, and like, you know,
I love all that shit.
Stayed with my mom, even though she yelled at him every day. He's like, I just couldn't imagine waking up one day without my sons. You're like, all right, that's admirable. I get it. Just working, just still churning away.
I don't give a fuck if you're an alcoholic, as long as you're a functioning alcoholic. If you're a functioning alcoholic, you have no beef with me.
My dad doesn't really drink anymore because of the diabetes, but my mom's a real boozer, real Aria booze wagon. Just always starts at 10. You hear the cheap beer.
10 in the morning?
10 in the morning. You hear it crack open.
How old?
64, but her mom died of cirrhosis of the liver. So okay, I feel so like it's hereditary. Yeah, yeah. They're all real boozy.
I can't believe I didn't come out boozy.
Real? Nah, I'm not a real boozer.
My mom could put them away, Jack. Yeah. From dusk to dawn.
Yeah, that's mine. Like a case every 2 days? My mom, every day and a half?
My mom's breakfast was a can of tomato juice with a Heineken beer. Yeah. How the fuck do you exist?
Yeah, that's my mom. My mom, just you hear it crack, I'll be sleeping on the couch and like, oh shit, there it goes. It's starting early.
Everyone has their thing, though, I think.
Everybody does have their thing. It's just knowing it. Seeing if it becomes a problem.
I prefer weed.
Weed has never been a problem to nobody. Yeah. Unless you go over the fucking top with it and you fall asleep at work or, you know, it affects drug tests. I've never even considered weed.
To be anything.
Like anything. Like, yeah. Since I was a kid, like my godfather smoked it. Yeah. And nothing happened to him. He would giggle. So wait a second, you're telling me that something that makes you giggle is bad? He would giggle.
I just ordered a McFlurry, a $10 Uber Eats McFlurry. That's my only guilty thing. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm just paying for overpriced McDonald's deliveries. You know,
right now, I would love, especially after my long drug career, I would love to look people in the eye and say that I'm sober. But I had a hard time when I was sober.
Yeah.
It really went against who I was for some reason. It just bothered me.
Yeah.
I did it for a month here, a month there when I got locked up. I did it and I could do it. It just didn't feel like me. So right now I go, you know what? I don't need pills.
Yeah.
I don't need this. I don't need that. I like my reefer.
Yeah, it's, me too.
To me right now, listen, I did like 8 bong hits before I got in. Yeah, did I look like I did 8 bong hits? It really doesn't do nothing to me no more. It's a teddy bear. Yeah. It's the last piece of my past.
I just can't drive. I feel like I just get real weird and paranoid.
Me too. So yeah. Don't drive. I try to avoid it as much as anybody can.
I should have Ubered here.
What's the weed like in Italy?
It's not as good. It's shitty, and they roll it with tobacco, which always makes me furious. I'm like, why do I need to just
fucked up?
Yeah, the tobacco.
Or those Egyptians, they roll the weed with the tobacco. And they put pieces of ash in it. You're night-night. With no filter, you're going night-night. Your lungs burn, but it makes you tough. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like I already feel like a real strong, sturdy broad.
You're fucking tough. And you never stop. You have a lot of respect. You know, nothing pisses me off more. I'm married. I'm 56. I'm an adult. I don't even want my wife to suck my dick. So when I say this out of pure honesty and respect. Nothing bothered me more was when that dude said that women aren't funny.
Oh.
When people make that statement, you know, because we're all hypocrites when we say that, because we all grew up on I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
So right there, you lost. Shut up. Don't make that statement.
I just don't.
Do not ever make that statement around me.
I feel like somebody can not be your sensibility, but if people make, like, I never understand how people can hate comics. I'm like, how do you hate a person whose sole intention is so good and all they want to do is bring joy and happiness to strangers and sacrifice their life traveling around the world? And to say a woman's not funny, it's like, well, she's making people laugh, or somebody wrote her a check. Her tax returns are an indication that that person's funny. I feel like if you're making money, you're making people laugh. So how can you fucking say that?
No, it drives me crazy. And it's women like you that have always, I go, look at this bitch, you know? Wow, these bitches are complaining that I don't get spots because I'm female.
I'm just going back out there.
In Croatia.
Yeah.
Surrounded by soldiers that are dying of fucking torment.
Yeah, I'm doing weird shows in Slovenia. I'm just doing shows wherever I can.
That's the proof in the pudding to me. And there's two differences. You're in, I don't like to say this, but it's the truth. You're in the hot category.
Yeah.
So you were handled.
I'll take it. You can say it again if you want.
You were handled. Well, you won like the sexy comic.
Yeah, that Howard Stern.
Playboy, and I know you hosted the AVN. So, you know, so you were handled differently.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I both know, you know, we all, you know the deal. You came into the club. You're great. We want to help you.
Yeah.
A week later, we're calling you for a piece of ass. You don't give them a piece of ass.
Then no more help.
They don't book you, and there's no more help. What a sad fucking state of affair of a human being you are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, but that happens so much to women.
No, and you that's can't, the as a woman,
bring another. Like, I find the trouble now is, like, if I want to bring a friend with me, another lady comic, they're like, wow, we can't have two ladies on a show. That's a lady show. And you're like, oh, I just have to be alone in a hotel room. There's only a few clubs where you're allowed to bring your opener as a woman if you want another woman. So you're just lonely. Like, how can you say a woman's not funny who's willing to be lonely for 17 years? Like, I was on the road. There were years it was like 40, 42 weekends a year.
I know. I remember
like,
that.
Just churning it out every, just coming back on Monday, flying back out Tuesday night. Just enough time to just enough time to do laundry and repack with where they still could smoke
feed
for three three shows three show
fucking Saturdays.
Ooh, there's only three places that do that now.
Really?
Yeah, Tampa does it, Punchline in Atlanta does it, and St. Louis Funny Bone and Zany's does it. St. Louis just stopped. Zany's.
I won't do a midnight show. Ugh, Miami's doing it.
It's hard.
Miami Improv is doing it. They called 3 weeks ago.
It's not.
I said thank you, but no, it's only an hour and a half. Listen, no,
it's when you've talked for that long.
Knock it off.
That third show
on every
is,
level. Oof. On every level. I don't want the consumer to put up with that.
Yeah.
I don't want the consumer to put up with that. Again, we're going back to the law of diminishing returns. How good is Joey going to be for the third show?
It's you're tired.
How long is Joey going to be? Not only is he tired, you're tired.
Yeah.
You're 10 sheets into the wind because you started partying on fucking, I went to Guns N' Roses Saturday night. My wife and I were talking about this, and I want to clarify this on the podcast that I was not trying to be an asshole, but this is reality. This was a girl at the Guns N' Roses concert the other night. It just started. Concert just fucking started.
She's passed out.
And this poor bitch is passed out on the couch next to me, okay? I took two pictures of her, and people got pissed off at me. Go help her, whatever. First off, it's none of my business. Number two, she had a boyfriend.
Yeah, let him
She came
monitor.
With a boyfriend. What happened was two things happened, and I'll explain to you what happened because I've been to 1,000 fucking concerts. A, either you started getting high too early,
mm-hmm.
or B, you know what happens when you go to a concert? Your adrenaline goes up.
Yeah.
When you walk into like a concert that you're a fan of, your adrenaline goes up. And after three songs, your adrenaline crashes. She was passed out. I mean, this is Guns N' Roses, the Palladium. It can't be any louder. It's not like she was playing the fucking organ with the guy with a harmonica. This bitch was out. And she passed out with her boyfriend, and the boyfriend got up and went to another section with other people and left her there. And I didn't include that in the tweet because I'm not a Crime Stopper.
Yeah, yeah, but people she could get a rogue finger blasting on the way. You don't know what's going to happen.
Listen, and you got to be prepared as a woman today.
Yeah.
With all this shit that you read about, bitch, it's like getting a DUI today. If you come to me and say, DUI, I got to stop talking to you for 90 days.
Yeah.
You're on 90-day personal suspension from Uncle Joey. Yeah. Because I got everything available to you.
You can get an Uber.
Worst case, they have to get a Lyft and get raped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Lyft is like the bottom of the fucking tier. Lyft will give you a ride for $3. You might have to blow the guy or you might blow him and not know it till the morning till you wake up on fucking.
Crunchy.
Yeah. You wake up somewhere, but there's no option to have a DUI anymore. Yeah. Not in today's society. We have too many options for you now to get a DUI. If you tell a bar that you're hammered,
they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out. You know,
to get you,
so,
somebody will get you home.
Yes.
We do that at our bar. We get people.
Yes.
Drunk lady across the street.
Things
home.
That they can't continue. So I don't even know what the fuck we're talking about.
Talking about that drunk lady passed out.
Oh, yeah, she
and
was
yeah,
passed
yeah.
out.
And so then her boyfriend skedaddling.
I have a daughter. I felt horrible looking at her. But I'm going to prepare my daughter never to let her guard down in prime.
And never get...
That's
no.
what happens.
I did that in college at a fraternity party, and I asked this guy, I was like, hey, do you know where I can lay down? And then he gave me a room, but he's like, make sure you lock the door behind me. And then it was like, turns out he was a nice guy. Like, I'm the one chick in college that found the one really nice guy that must have had a ton of sisters. And he was like, don't ever fucking do that again. Don't drink stuff out of the garbage can at a fraternity house, the whatever punch they're making. Yeah, whatever punch they're making. And never ask somebody if you can lay down or you're going to have just a pile of gang rape.
We live in some weird fucking times now. It's so weird that... You could just say something, go through the media, and you're done. And you don't even have to get arrested or nothing. There's no proof presented. You know, I just remember this. When I lived in Colorado in 83, I worked with a guy at Sport Kalen. He was a general manager there. I had extra cash because I was robbing drug dealers. I wouldn't hide the cash in the house in case somebody broke in. And one year his father died, and he didn't have... It's a true story. He didn't have the money to go home. So I said, take the money, you know. We'll figure it out. And he was always nice to me. He came back, and he did pay me back. But about 3 months later, he was a line judge at ski events, but he really couldn't tell Sport Kalen, the company, because it was a conflict of interest. Not that they were doing anything wrong. He just felt it was nobody's business. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Some people just don't need to know all your business. So he would take off vacations, like March 21st through the 29th, and go to, I don't know, Summit Mountain and judge races or whatever. And he went to a bar on a Monday, on a Tuesday, if I'm saying this correctly. And he started talking to a woman, and they started getting a little cozy, blah, 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 blah. But a girl that he had slept with before came in, and he excused himself. Everybody was surrounded, and he went with that girl, left and went home with him. Boom. The next day, he woke up and went to the ski thing. That night, that girl that he had been talking to, that he left at the bar, the next morning, she went to the cops and said that she had been raped by that guy.
What?
That he had busted into a hotel room and raped her that night. So when they went to Sport Kalen to look for him, they couldn't find him, and it even looked more suspicious. They, like, he took a vacation. Where is he? He didn't say.
Wow.
So the cops knocked on my door, and they're like, how well do you know? And I go, he's my neighbor. We talk. I mean, I go, what is this concern? And they go, well, he's in charge of something. I go, whatever it is, I'm not. Whatever, but he ain't the type of guy that
is breaking doors.
I didn't know about rape.
Yeah,
I didn't know about the rape. I didn't know. So I guess she positively identified him from, because they had no mugshot on him. He had never been arrested. The guy never had a crossing ticket. She identified him from the store, like employee of the month type pictures, whatever they do. And cops were looking for him. And then one day I went outside, and there he was unloading his car. And I go, get in the fucking house. I go, cops are looking for you for a rape. He's like, what are you talking about? I go, did you meet some chick? And he told me the whole story. And then he turned himself in. They got him arrested. This chick swore up and down in the Bible how it was done. The lock. He had a mask on, a ski mask. So they raided his house. They didn't find the mask. They did a whole write-up in the fucking paper about it.
About him? Did they use his name for?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Oh my God! They buried him. Sport Kalen didn't know what to do. Me, I'm like, this guy might smoke pot once in a while, whatever, but he ain't no fucking tree jumper.
Yeah.
He ain't gonna break.
You're not smoking pot and then climbing and fucking breaking into houses.
In.
That, no,
it was too small of a community, and you know they kept. And then the people were like, "What are you talking about? He had 800 witnesses. He was at a thing, a ski summit for 4 days or whatever it was."
Yeah.
This is 1983, guys. When he came back, they pressed charges on him, rape. She was from Texas. They flew her back. She identified him and the whole thing, and then he pulled the ace out of the card. And he was like, this is where I was this night. This is where I was the night before with this girl. And the chick said, no, I want to press charges. He's the one that raped me. It was something wild. And he ended up going to court. and the witnesses, and it got dismissed. But then there was a civil, and he ended up suing her.
For, like, defamation?
Her father owned something big in Texas. For defamation. And then before they cut the check, she came clean and said that she had flown her boyfriend from Texas and didn't want the parents to know. So the maid had seen him going into the room. Just fucking people make up.
That's insane.
It was fucking crazy.
That's insane.
I don't know how we got to the story. Yeah, I started smoking reefer.
Oh, I think it all started with that woman passed out.
Being passed out. So it just, I don't know. I didn't take the picture of her. I took the picture because I thought it was funny that she was all fucked up by the show, and it was the second song, and she's going to wake up on Sunday.
Oh, I didn't know that was the second song. Jesus.
Second song.
But it was late when you posted that. I figured it was the end of the concert. Oh, my
10:30.
God.
No, I kept posting the pictures, showing them Guns N' Roses, and then I would go, she's still out. Guns N' Roses, a picture of us, she's still out. And then at one point, she was this way on the couch with her head back, and then...
Did the boyfriend ever come back?
He came back like an hour later.
All right.
And he picked her up, and she was like all fucked up. And then he just held her and made believe he loved her.
Like he had been there the whole night.
Yeah, like he had been there the whole night.
What a good guy.
But I wasn't posting pictures being fucking perverted or nothing.
No.
I was with my wife.
Yeah.
So I have a friend who, like, we're both open micers, but she is on the road a lot, and she'll, like, sleep in her car, and she got mad at me once because I was like, be careful. Like, it made me nervous to think about a friend of mine sleeping in her car at, like, a rest stop. And she's like, you wouldn't say that to a guy. And I'm like,
yeah, because you don't have any upper body strength as a woman.
Okay. So like, as a woman comic, a female comic on the road, did you ever run into anything weird?
God, what do you mean? All the fucking time? Every goddamn... I think even one... from club owners. Like the one guy in Kansas City.
Oh, the wig?
Craig Glazier died? Yeah. He used to be like, all right, when are you going to let me pop you in the asshole? Like, you just have to deal with that shit for all week.
Jesus.
For 10 years.
He's have no idea what these women...
So much. So, like,
when I bring women on the podcast, it's because I love you, and it's basically out of respect, because nobody has a fucking clue. Women have a clue.
Yeah.
Women know what workplace harassment is. And trust me, I'm not sitting here being an angel. I've harassed tons of women. Because when I want a blowjob, I want a blowjob now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit here and be Joe Angel. But as a comic, you know, listen, any fucking industry where a woman starts at the low end of the totem pole, there's always an asshole.
There's so many.
There's always an asshole flexing his muscles for this poor woman. And I'm sure I've done it when I was younger. But then you get sisters and you have daughters and you meet women. I mean, comic chicks are the coolest motherfuckers if you like.
I think if you fought the battle, like, you'd be fighting every fucking day. So eventually you just learn to grow kind of a thick skin and just ass is what it is. What am I going to do? I'm going to battle dead Craig Glazier and Stanford and something. He did die.
He died.
He died, and I'm sad because he owed me money.
Rest in peace. Another creepy motherfucker.
He was super creepy, but I feel like he had a magic shell heart. Like, he was one of those guys that I do believe his parents, like, to have three drug addict sons, and hey, that dad must have been such a fucking asshole. Like, I always had a soft spot in my heart for him, because I was like, he was just a fucked up dude who wanted love and some attention.
I didn't know he died. Now I feel bad.
All of them are gone. All three of those brothers. He died right before my wedding, and I cried because he had owed me money, and if I had known he was dying, he died of cancer, I wouldn't have asked him for my money back.
And that was the one with the wig.
Yeah. There's a lot of them with the wigs, but he was one of them.
He had the cocaine problem.
Yeah.
Really bad.
The king of stink?
The king of stink. The wig would stink. Oh. The sweat would come out from under the wig. Oh. That club, you know, listen. I do comedy every weekend. Not every weekend. I do comedy like every other weekend on the road. And it's very easy for me to take Lee or whatever, but I won't. I refuse. Because I want him to see the beauty of stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole thing. It's not just about getting on stage. If you think it's just about writing jokes and getting on stage, quit now. There's a whole culture.
of the journey of getting better.
The journey of getting better, the journey of meeting people, the journey of understanding female comics and how they work with you. You can work with them, or you can work against them. It could be a bad fucking week. You know, I love women opening for me. You know why? Because a lot of girlfriends buy their boyfriends tickets for me. And then they sit through another idiot in front of me cursing. I like to bring a woman so they have something.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I don't really like Joey. But at least I got a broad that's throwing heat up there.
Women are always, I think, the social planners for most couples. Like, my husband isn't a planner. He just shows up and he puts on his pants and he kind of goes where he's told.
But going back to that journey is so important. Mm. And when I see a comic in L.A. and he thinks he's had it, and I know he didn't have that journey that we had, I know he's going to have to pay for it somewhere along the line.
Because those are the shows you learn the most from. Like bowling alleys. This and sucks. get to the laundromat and drive.
This sucks. This is for one out of every 15 that you get really good here. But that journey is the one that you cannot, those vivid, those driving nights. You know what it is to fucking take a bus?
Yeah.
From North Carolina to Buffalo, and every city you stop and you have to go out and sneak 2 hits off the joint.
And get back on
the bus and eat at a bus stop. That stuff comes back later on.
That's what I look at some of the things I was willing to do. Like, I remember driving. I had a show in Tolome, California. It was like 7.5, 8-hour drive. Did my show at this Indian casino for whatever little money I was getting. Drove back to the airport to fly to Albuquerque. Didn't know that Roswell was 4.5 hours from Albuquerque. And then cried at the rental car place because I was so fucking tired. And they weren't going to rent me a car because they thought I was unstable. And then I had to convince them that I had a comedy show that I had to get to. And then they rented me a car. And I just remember a lot of powering through just to like drive and get it done and go and pick up your $150-$200 when you first start, and it's all you had.
I feel it now. When I go on stage in the main room and I'm rocking and rolling up there, I go back. I could say, wow, I'm happy I did that work. I'm happy I did those Mormon rooms in Utah for Tribble's partner. You know, it's such a beautiful journey. Life is a journey.
You
don't base it on one thing, you know.
That's what I like about European shows now. It's like I'll do these weird shows in like Rijeka, you know, Croatia or Slovenia. And I feel like I'm new again because you have to find that language barrier as to what hits with another culture. And I'm like, I haven't felt that sense of new where you're like, oh, this is a bar room. I'm doing these weird bar shows in Croatia. And you're just not as good as you remember being in the States because they just don't understand what the fuck you're saying half the time. So you have to kind of figure out comedy in a new way.
Are you doing 50-50 now? Like, is it 50-50 for your tour, or are you doing 60-40?
I'm still touring more than I'm spending time with my husband. So,
but are you doing, I'm talking about percentages of state to out of the country tour.
No, mostly here. Like, I'll come back. I came back for 3 weeks. I'll go back for a week to see my husband. I'll come back for 2 weeks. I'll go back for 2 weeks to see my husband. I'll come back for 3 weeks on the road. I'll go back. Just back and forth between Italy and mostly shows on the road. Like, I'm hardly in L.A. Just every once a month, maybe like 3 days to whatever meetings and things I have to catch up with. Check my mail.
How is your experience with Netflix?
It's been really good.
When did you shoot those?
We shot it in March, and then it aired August 13th.
Where
did
you shoot it at?
Here in Los Angeles.
That's cool as shit. And you've known Tiffany since the beginning
years.
Of time.
Yeah, she was in my wedding. Yeah.
No shit.
In Greece.
How long ago?
1 year ago. We got married September 2nd.
So she could afford the Greek ticket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had a good turnout for Greece. 58 people for an internet. Some of his friends. His friends are a little shittier than mine. I feel like I got better friends.
But your friends came out?
Yeah, I had a lot of friends. I had 14 bridesmaids.
From Pennsylvania?
From Pennsylvania. Okay. I had a few of my elementary school teacher friends. I feel like I had friends from every chapter of my life.
Good
my college friends, friends I first met when I came out here, comedy friends. So
I love you to death. You send me an invite to your wedding.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
Yeah.
Well, over the pond, you can suck my dick. You get married at the VFW. like the rest of
you
the
come
fucking,
to Italy, we'll
like
show
the rest
you
of
around.
The cute girls in Pittsburgh do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody in Pennsylvania gets married to VFW.
Some fire hell.
All of a sudden, you want to get married in Greece. Go fuck yourself.
My husband can't get into the country with his teasing. Filthy Iranian passport.
But I love it. I love it that you do all these adventurous things. Your life is really has been a fucking adventure.
No, I forget sometimes how cool it is. I feel like my shitty childhood afforded me a really good adult life. Like, you know, as a female comic, I think when people also get mad at female comics, I'm like, you don't realize what it took to become a female comic. Like, both my grandparents died of AIDS. My aunt shot herself in the face. Like, you don't become a lady comic if you've had a whole bag of normal. Like, you grew up with homemade pudding and hugs. You know, you had to take a few beatings to become a lady comic.
And then you get more of them when you come here.
Oh, so many.
And I've seen a lot of men come and go,
mm-hmm.
but I've seen a lot of women come and go, and this just does something to you. And some of the women don't realize, like, you're, I don't know, what are you, 29 now?
Yeah.
Your ovaries haven't.
Oh, I got like 17 eggs left.
Yeah, your ovaries haven't asked for sperm milk yet to produce. Because a lot of women, I mean, it's just one day at 33, they've been doing comedy for 10
and
years.
And they're done.
Rocking and rolling. Mm. When the ovaries call,
yeah.
You know, when nature calls. No, and a lot of women have bounced back from it. Now, what do we have? We have five chicks that have shot specials pregnant.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I want one kid. I want a dollhouse, and it feels unstable as a woman to have a dollhouse if you don't have a kid. You can't just be an adult woman with a dollhouse. You need that baby.
Hey, I had one at 50.
You did?
And she was 44.
Yeah? All right.
I still knocked her up at 44, and we weren't planning it.
All right.
You know, they were talking about it this morning at the gym. They're like, you know, you did it the right way. And I'm like, I didn't do anything the right way. Whoever controls this motherfucking world did that. I didn't know. After 12 years, after 2 years, if I don't get you pregnant, it's loads ahoy.
Yeah.
I'm just shooting loads in you till fucking the midget falls out, right or wrong. You shoot half of it in her, and then the other half in the toilet when you pee. You close it, you shut the toilet, turn off the light, you come back 3 days, there's a little sea monkey. There's like a little hand
swimming
by
out.
Itself. Yeah.
Coming to visit.
How do you save half of it?
Because you shot the other half in Mama's snatch.
Yeah, so I'm just asking you, how do you keep half of
the
it?
The other head sits in the back of your dick. That's why you have to pee after you have sex. Because in between the suction, your body automatically wants to clean out whatever that she had in her dirty badge. So yeah. You
don't get a UTI.
You know, it's so weird what people know about sperm. Like, I don't know how many, like, sperm is the weird, all you need is one little
aggressive little guy.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Now, my load's a gallon and a half. You ever see the size of my nuts? You know what the chance is?
Unfortunately, I have.
Like, right now, I'm holding like 2 pints right now. I'm a pint over. I'm going to have to go home and give Mama a stab in this afternoon before we pick up Yum Yum Kid. But it's true. Like, one little, it's just, I didn't know this. I learned when I went to prison. They made you watch a film. They showed all the black people. Before you have kids, watch these videos and shit, because I swear to God, it was so racist. They made all the black inmates go to this thing because
that's hysterical.
If you had more than like 19 kids, at one point they're like, "We gotta explain to you what happens. Maybe you're not getting this. The reason why you have this was way before the term baby mama.
Okay.
You know, there were guys in there that just can't. You know, there's women that fucking meet guys in jail. And we'll give you like a half the hand job and get knocked up. All you need is a little bit. And the pressure, what guys don't know is when we're banging you.
Yeah.
Right? And we start getting that little ticklish. You already shooting little platelets of love
little
into this.
Pre-ejaculatory.
There's pre-ejaculatory things. By the time you start twitching, and you pull it out and you're like, whoo. We missed it. Well, give her a minute. Look inside that little hole, and you'll see a little teardrop come out.
A little spooch special.
Oh, my God.
It's a good thing. Hey, what to a family? It's a family podcast.
No, I just love the way you're describing it.
Well, what do you want me to say?
It's getting a little ticklish.
It's a little teardrop. Yeah. You always get that little jingle in your legs as a kid.
Extra.
You don't know what's going on.
Moist
you're
up
fucking
the tip.
Doggy style, and you're and you're standing up, you get that little lightheadedness, and all of a sudden you get that little ticklish thing, you already came. You've already pre-ejaculated it. By the time you pull out and you see it shooting in the air, and you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's already got a little centimeter that's swimming his way through.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No. So after 2 years of me, 2-3 years of me dating my wife, I didn't knock her up. I'm like, this is never going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's Lloyd's a hoe. There ain't no pulling out here. Shoot it. You're going to walk a little funny, a little squeaky.
A little drippy.
Your underwear is going to be a little drippy in about 2 hours at work. You're going to feel it slipping out of your leg. A little baby Joey with no ears.
I feel like my husband needs a baby. You're like,
does he? How old is your husband?
34.
Okay.
So I've never met a dude where I'm like, this dude should be a dad. Because I've dated comics where you're like, this guy can't be the father of my child. This guy's weeping in his pillow every night. So this is the first stable dude where I'm like, he needs a baby.
How happy are you not that I'm not involved with comedians?
So I didn't know that this is what it's like. Like, he'll literally ask me, he's like, what did they do to you? And I'm like, oh, God, I got stories. I got stories about these animals I dated.
I had a brief affair with a comic for about 6 months. And I think back at it now, and it was just horrific.
Yeah.
It was just horrific.
Oh, we were... I had a dude who fucked a hooker in my room. We had hooked up, and then I didn't sleep with him. And then we were in two different rooms in Vegas, and he was like, oh, ask for my room key. And then he went downstairs and got a hooker and fucked her in my room after we made out. So I'm like, I didn't even know that was in the realm of possibilities of shit that could happen. And then I just took like a Silkwood shower and cried, and then didn't date people for like a year and a half after. Pretty bad.
Two comics just...
Not good.
I had a girl, Rachel, came in there, Wilson, and she's like, but you're arguing. She goes, look at Ralphie and Lana. Look at... I think there's three power couples now, right?
Rich and Bonnie, Tom and Christina.
Tom and Christina. I go, that's a rarity.
Yeah.
They did it the right way, or they planned going on the road. You know, it's when I think when you start going on the road together and you're involved together, that's when it gets ugly.
It's too much.
If you're a comic and then you become a TV writer, mm-hmm. and I'm a comic or just a road comic, I think it'll work.
Yeah, if you have some sort of different thing to pull from, interest.
But if we're both road comics, you and I both know, and you could admit this you're to gone. The audience, is there, when you date a comic, a while, is there a little bit of a competition?
Yeah, of course. Especially, I think, as a woman, like, I've dated comics where I'd come home and he'd still not be on the road, and you're like, oh, this dude's just sitting on the couch, and I'm hurling my body every week, and I'm tired, my face is getting tired, and this asshole's just sitting on the fucking couch. You're like, get up, go and try to get more work.
And then they blame you, or you would see. That's the thing that started to scare me when I had my brief encounter. And this is 98. It went from us just having fun to, why do you get those calls and I don't? And that's
never
gonna
be good.
I can't have it. I can't have that.
No, my husband just thinks it's cool. Like, he watched my special. Like, he's like, oh, it gets better every time. I'm like, does it really? It does it. But he thinks it's neat. And I've never had that with a dude where there was no level of competition. He just thinks what I do is cool, and he's encouraging, and he believes when I, you know, he has room to believe, because he doesn't, if you're a comic and you have to, like, fight for your own dreams, but he doesn't have to do that. He has his own separate thing, so he can fight for me to have my dreams.
Pretty fucking neat. What's your response been so far from Netflix?
It's been great. All positive. There was one useless twat that hated me. But other than that,
as far as the shows, the people.
People have been coming out, and they're coming out, which is nice. I feel like my numbers went up, even in Tampa in a hurricane. My numbers were up from the last year.
You do side splitters?
Yeah, I do side splitters.
Good club?
Yeah, do you do it?
No, I've never done it.
I've
only done the improv in Tampa.
Okay. No, I like side splitters. I feel like the independent clubs, it's like, I like when you go back and the staff's still the same, because at least there's some sense of family. You're not as lonely, I think, or... Like the chain, more corporate clubs. I feel like the turnover is high. Like, I know that I go back and it's always the same dude at the bar or the same waitress staff. And you're like, you just know what you're getting.
There's even that. even just going to different comedy clubs mm-hmm. and seeing, like, I had a list. Like, when I was coming up, there was a comic newspaper called Just the Last, mm-hmm. and it came out of San Francisco. It was published by John Fox, and it was a bunch of comics yeah. who put your money where your mouth is. You say you want to be a writer? Write me an interview every yeah. week. You interview, you write an article about the state of comedy, I'll write an article about this, and they put a paper together. Yeah. But at the last two pages were every club, state by state, you know, Alabama, mm-hmm. you know, fucking Connecticut, and you could just circle the clubs and go, someday I'm going to play there, you know. Yeah. I don't even know if they have those lists anymore, like all the clubs. And you don't really have a list of all the clubs because they all open and shut
yeah.
so quickly sometimes, you know. You don't like the chains.
Oh, I do. I mean,
like I like all of them. I don't really care. If I like a club, I don't care if it's a chain or not.
No, I mean, I don't care about that. I just feel like with the staff, it feels more like a family. Like if I go right, to no, Zany's and right. there's, you know, three Zany's, it's like, well, Bert Haas is always going to be there. If I go to Tampa, it's always Bobby Jewel. Like, it's always going to be the same.
Is Bert still there?
Yeah, Bert's still there, still dressing up, still has a pocket square, still looks fancy. Yeah,
that's
what I like. Like,
you get the relationship with the different comic club owners, and I loved featuring. I really had a good time featuring. I learned a lot.
Yeah,
featuring, and I embraced it. Like most people, feature. I'm going with the headline. You're yeah. not going nowhere.
Yeah.
So you might as well learn how to be a fucking tremendous feature. The best you can be.
Be hard, too time. Hard to follow. And
yeah, three, 4 years of feature work. 3-4 years.
And that's a perfect 52 spot. Weeks.
Perfect spot.
You're done.
No pressure. You can no hang out by the tickets. Bathroom and pick out drunk chicks.
Yeah.
When they go to puke, you can rub their back as they puke and help them. And, come on, I got a room to put you in like that frat boy. But we ain't locking the door. You know what I'm saying?
Aww.
You know, it's just, it's a different attitude. You're just going in to be a killer. Mm-hmm. And some headliners you're friends with, mm-hmm. and some are just dicks.
Yeah.
And some are on the borderline, and you get to see different comics. And what type of comic do you want to be? Like, mm-hmm. you know, like one of the memories that sticks out in my mind today, big time comic, opened up for him in Dallas. I went outside, and there was a huge line. And I went back in. I go, you know, there's a huge line out there for you. He goes, fuck those assholes. And I remember going,
Why?
And I remember going, wow, if I ever headlined,
yeah.
I would definitely be out there with them. And this is way before pictures. They just wanted to shake your hand.
And meet you.
He didn't want to meet nobody.
And I don't understand that. If they're coming out, you have to forget that. Like, I feel like people forget that the people that come to comedy shows, they might have three kids. That might be their entertainment for the next 3 months. They might not get another break. So how dare people, when people are paying for two tickets, drinks, maybe a babysitter, gas prices, that might be their most expensive evening out as a family. Like, that's their date night. So you're there to entertain them.
That's what bothers me about two show nights.
Yeah.
Two show nights.
Especially for me, I don't like two show nights anymore.
No, just one.
No, because now I do like either comedy clubs or like medium theaters.
Yeah.
So sometimes they add a second show, and like New York sold out in June for December. I'm from Jersey. Yeah, it's going to sell out, so... Yeah, the second show, but I don't like it because the theater doesn't want you going out because people are trying to leave and then people are trying to get in and then they're trying to take pictures mm-hmm. and now you have this madness. Like Milwaukee, I did 420. I felt terrible. I did two shows. I shouldn't have done two shows.
Yeah.
And that's what, like this week I'm in Chicago. I'm doing one show. Why? I want to sit there for an hour afterward.
And chat with people.
And chat people and take pictures. I don't sell merch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't sell merch because I don't want to take them for everything they got.
Yeah.
I'd rather them come up to me and say, hey, I didn't like the podcast with you and Lee, or the podcast helped me, or now I booked a trick ticket to Florence because April Macy's got a restaurant there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't want there to be a gap between us and them.
Well, I think that's all they're looking for most of the time is just a human connection. And like that's what kind of stand-up comedy is. You have like a groupthink mentality where people come in and everybody's kind of on the same team to enjoy their night. So
when I shake your hand and take a picture of you, that's a completion of the circle.
Mm-hmm.
That's a completion of...
feeling connected to you.
That's it.
Yeah.
I put out a podcast, you listen to it. One day you made a comment. Mm-hmm. I replied to you as a gentleman. Mm-hmm. And now we start a little dialogue in between us. We're not best friends.
Yeah.
But we acknowledge each other on Facebook. If you put a picture of your ugly kid up, I'll say yeah. If I put a picture of my ugly kid up, yeah, you'll say yeah. And you really
human interaction. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that person will say to you, hey, I see you're coming to Chicago. Yeah. I live in whatever. I'm doing a 2-hour drive. And you meet them after the show and you shake their hand and you give them a hug and you take a picture. It's 2 minutes of your time.
And people are happy.
And that's it. Yeah. It's the people that come in and go, can I ask you a question about Joe Rogan? Get the fuck out of here. Can I ask you a question about episode 22 of the podcast? Listen, I just did an hour on stage. I don't know nothing. You know, yesterday I got a guy. Can you leave a message on my phone? I go, why would I want to do that? Yeah. And he goes, if I do it for you, I got to do it for everybody else. He goes, I won't tell nobody. Except the people that call you fucking moron. You fucking idiot. I go, I don't want to do Cameo. I don't want to do none of that shit. But I want to meet people who listen to the podcast.
I also feel like sometimes there's audience members that you do really connect with. Like in Tampa, there was this couple, interracial, older couple. They were in their 60s. And then they would come every time I was there. And then he got sick. He had brain cancer. And they weren't there for a few years. And I remember when they came back because he got well, I cried. I'm like, oh, my God, Frank and June are back.
Yes.
And there was something like so human about it where you're like, oh, I'm so glad to see these audience members. Because I had wondered every time. I'd be like, oh, I wonder if they're going to come. I wonder if he had passed away. And to see them back in the audience was so satisfying. And to know he got through whatever illness he had had and they were back to enjoying life. So you're like, well, that's nice.
Fuck it, I'm still in awe just seeing you because I haven't seen you in so long.
It's been years.
And I look at you and I still remember you walking in one night, you had like a little hat on.
Oh.
You wore like some little fucking, I think it was like a French stewardess little cap.
I was dressed like an asshole.
You used to put on some fucking tremendous outfits. I'm like, this chick's got the balls of a fucking elephant.
I didn't know. I've always dressed like an asshole.
Oh, no, you look beautiful. I just always loved your style and how you, it's great to see that you're still out there doing your thing.
Oh, what else can I do?
And I'm happy you're not involved with a comic anymore.
I got no life skills. This is it. This is the only thing I've ever been good at. What? No, look at me. I dropped out. I went to University of Florida for 2.5 years and I was pretty fucked up. I mean, I had a bad, weird childhood. So everybody died. And then, so when I was 17, my parents never let me do anything. Like, I was not equipped for life at 17. My dad was, no boys. There was a lot of, like, no boys. And then I was just gobbling wieners. It was forbidden. So just gobbling dick meat for years.
Do you think that's just because I have a daughter?
I think if you're really overprotective, like, boys weren't allowed to call my house. My parents were married really young, and they had me young. So I think they just tried to prevent me from making the same mistakes they did. But in doing that, if you tell somebody you can't have tangerines, they're going to want to fucking rub tangerines on their face. It's the same if men are forbidden. You're like, give me all the... And I had abandonment issues from a lot of deaths. But then I was just gobbling wieners.
A lot of death?
Deaths. Like, my grandparents died. My aunt died. Like, I just dealt with a lot of tragedy as a kid. So I think when you have abandonment shit and it's forbidden, it was like the perfect combination to just take all... Have all the dicks. Just collect them. Don't do it. Don't be overprotective with your daughters or they'll be getting
back. I come from a different world, April, so I'm very, like, I know what the world is about. Yeah. I know who's out there. My wife is a little bit on the whatever side. I don't fucking play. You know, I'm raising her to
be tough.
Know what 2 and 2 is. When we do the podcast, we do it. 15-minute podcast. I make a read. Our homework assignment is 10 minutes. But the other 20 minutes, I'm just talking to her.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying little things to her just so she knows. I write her a journal every day. I write, you know, in a journal what I'm feeling. I just started writing about my life, you know.
It's really sweet.
That I went to prison. Yeah, because I don't want somebody telling her the wrong shit.
Yeah.
You got it from the horse's mouth. It's on paper.
Yeah.
And this is my second notebook, so... Hopefully when I die, she gets the fucking notebooks and she learns the truth.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Before some jerk-off says, well, on YouTube, He said he robbed the jewelry store. Well, I got the proof here. Fucking jerk off.
Yeah. This is,
it wasn't a jewelry store. It was a liquor store. You dumb fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, but that's really, it's really sweet.
I think that because of my exposure to, I've been exposed to, you've been exposed to a lot of fucked up men. Things that you went home and said, wow, what happened here?
What's wrong? What happened?
Here? Yeah. What happened here? When you're, especially when you live in L.A., and you see how people act, and you see the things that people will do for fame, or just for a little bit of success, you have to ask yourself, what happened here?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like I said, I've been a lot of, I've only been with like one comic, maybe two or something like that sexually. But I have a lot of comic friends as women, and you look at them and go, they're my friend. I got their back no matter what.
Yeah.
But something happens.
Something happens.
It's got nothing to do with me. I'm not gonna ask. I don't need to do an intervention. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be that much of a friend, but I know that
happens. Anybody that requires that constant stream of validation, it's not a normal thing to want, to need like the constant nightly adoration and love from somebody. So you're like, well, where didn't they get it early on during the formative years? Like, why do you, I mean, I know for me, it's like I obviously didn't have enough love growing up, so now I need it from everybody I meet, every audience, every fan. You want that adoration.
See, for me, I think I had a parent, I had a mother and a stepfather who were an audience.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I always had an audience.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I wasn't loved. I was. I think with me, my comedy comes from the same place where your comedy comes from. And it's from being pain and having to talk yourself off a ledge.
All the time.
You know, that's, like, I'm very good at talking people off ledges. Why? Because I talked myself off fucking ledges. You know, what's a ledge, Joey? A tough time in your life when you have to make a tough decision when some people just fucking tie a knot.
Yeah.
Some people jump off a building.
No, and I feel like that was my escape. And plus, it was the escape from my parents. Like, I feel like our house was so filled with sadness that, like, I was the pressure valve where I could, like, if I could get a laugh out of somebody, like, you didn't see that in a house. Like, if when people have AIDS, when people are, like, have mental illness, like, you're constantly dealing with all of this pile of shit. If you can get somebody to smile in their day. So it was so satisfying early growing up getting laughs out of my parents because I don't think they had a tremendous amount of happiness themselves. So I think that kind of trickles into adult life. Now, people have hard lives. That's why I think you see comedy or people write you. The most satisfying thing is when people are like, oh, I haven't laughed in months. To know somebody else was going through something tragic and they connected enough with you, paid their entertainment dollar, and you gave them a little release from that pain for a little bit, I think is a really beautiful thing. That's why everybody should just like comics.
April Macy, I love you. Where can these savages find you?
Just aprilmacy.com, April Macy on social media, M-A-C-I-E. They can find me on Tiffany Haddish Presents They Ready, streaming on Netflix, and just driving around town. That's about it.
I'm happy you didn't jump off a plane.
Oh, look at, thank you.
You would have jumped off with eight guys do that with today. Dicks. Did you see them? No women showed.
No, me and Ida and I were going to do that today.
They were going to torture you. They were going to land first and lay on their backs.
I'll wait for me to fall on their dicks. Yeah. All of them.
They were all going to lay and see who got lucky. They were going to get like a raffle ticket like Connor and see who got lucky and shit. Did you see who ended up going?
Oh, it was like Chris Porter.
I saw them all last night.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Porter, Jim Jeffries, Martin Moreno.
Did Titus go?
I didn't see Titus in the picture.
I did want to go. I felt like I need to get past fears in my life.
She's like, what time are we doing it? At 1 o'clock. The only problem is I have, Mercy has, whatever the fuck you call it. Taekwondo.
Yeah. Adorable. Yeah, I was going to jump out of a plane.
So it was, I have to get over there. But you were like, I'm going to jump out of a plane. I was like, no.
No. I like what you said. You want to sell tickets, so you come and do this. If you want to jump out of a plane, join the fucking Air Force.
He'd get mad at you for riding a bike. There's no way he's going to let you jump out of a plane.
Yeah, I don't want nobody jumping out of a plane.
Because I'm so scared. I wanted to do it.
Did you?
Yeah.
No.
I want to get past fears in life. Like, I feel like,
you
know,
the same thing.
Certain boundaries that, like, keep you held, hold you back. I'm like, well, either I die or I've just worked past a fear. Next, I'll get into a tank with a shark or something.
It was funny because this morning I was thinking about you when I went on, because I got up, school, breakfast, and then I went somewhere. Then I got back and I went on Twitter and I saw the pictures. Huh. So I had to go to the bathroom. And while I was walking to the bathroom, I was thinking about, what the fuck would have happened? Like, I would love to jump off a plane. Like, I can't believe I said something to her about going on a plane because, well, I didn't see Ida either, so I knew something.
Well, we were going to do it together. We were kind of two lady handholders.
And I said, you know what? That's something I always wanted to do. Yeah. I got to do it with the right people.
That's what I felt like. The Golden Knights, I feel like if you're going to jump, you might as well jump with army dudes who are jumping all the time.
Oh, did Bronson Jones do that?
I don't know.
A couple people.
Yeah.
Go on Twitter. See, they're all.
Yeah,
hungry.
But I think Bronson, he did with the army. He lost a bunch of weight over the past month.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
he didn't pull the fucking Lee on the zip line. You lie to the people at the zip line. Place.
Same thing. They make you wait. God damn it.
Don't be bullshitting. Yeah, listen to me real quick before we got some time. You have any dates coming up?
I do. I'm this weekend. I'm in with Tiffany Haddish at the Indiana University Auditorium with Ida and Shantae. I'm at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, and then I'm at Penguins, and then
is that fucking place still open?
It sure is. The and same I still accountant, go there.
The
I
same
don't know
engineer.
The one that was flooded. Yeah,
I don't know what his name is. He was uptight. He didn't want to pay.
Jeff Johnson.
Is that he's still there?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my God! Send them my love, that tight cocksucker. I will be in Chicago this weekend at the Chicago Theater. There's still a few tickets left. October 11th, the Uptown Theater in Kansas City, and Denver. The second show's been added at the Paramount. Tickets are still available. Real fucking quick. Let me just mention the sponsors, and I'll get you motherfuckers out of here. All right. The Church of What's Happening Now is brought to you today by Upstart. Most of us find out the hard way that getting into debt is easy. Getting out of debt is hard, especially if your credit cards, if your credit score isn't great. They offer you smarter interest rates to help you pay off your credit debt. That's what Upstart does, all right? Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score. Your Upstart interest rate is based on your education and your job history, not just your credit score. They actually reward you for going to school. So Upstart doesn't care about the bills you didn't pay 5 years ago. They care about the person you are now, today, and they give you a rate based on that. Plus, they make it fast, simple, easy to check your rate in just a few minutes without affecting your credit score. And the best part is, you ready? Once the loan is accepted, most people get their funds the very next day. The next day. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit card, school loans, or to fund their weddings in Greece and to make large purchases. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt today by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. It's that easy. I'm telling you, this is the way to go. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. Hurry to upstart.com/Joey. Again, upstart.com/Joey. Listen, if you're in debt, you got to start somewhere. I had to start with one of these things about 20 years ago after my divorce. So please, go to Upstart. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart. They are number one in their category. So please, upstart.com/church to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes, and it will not affect your credit. That's upstart.com/church. The church is also brought to you by, are you ready? Listen to me. You ever call your bookie? He's not around, or he gives you a higher line. Let's say you live in New England, Boston, and you go to Bet New England. The line is always going to be higher in that area because there's more fans. That shit stops today. Listen, we're going on week four. Week fucking four, and you're still telling me you went 2-0, but you didn't win a dime. If you found $100 in the street, would you walk past it, or would you pick it up? Yeah, you'd pick it the fuck up. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting them? Listen, go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. So if you're trying to bet the NFL, baseball, UFC, Bellator, MMA, whatever, MyBookie's got it. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the fucking best, all right? So do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, college football, the fucking playoffs are coming in baseball, the World Series, there's a fountain of money coming your way. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have a gambling problem. If you're that kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the fucking year. I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. Double your deposit right now today. Use promo code CHURCH, C-H-U-R-C-H, to get 100% bonus on your initial deposit up to $1,000. You put $500 in, we give you a nickel. You put $100 in, we give you a yardstick. Visit mybookie.ag today. That's mybookie.ag. And don't forget to use promo code CHURCH, C-H-U-R-C-H, when creating your account to claim the bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. And listen, check Instagram tomorrow. I'm dropping a video with my one pick of the week. I'll teach you how to place the bets on MyBookie. You'll be saying Uncle Joey's a fucking savage. Catch me on Instagram on Matt Flavor World. How you like that, cocksuckers? Oh, I love you, motherfuckers. Don't forget, Honor is running the contest. 30 count, 90 count, Alpha Brain or the powder. You got a raffle ticket. Details on Monday for all you motherfuckers. I love you. Don't forget to support April Macy. She's a fucking savage. I got nothing but respect for her. She's hung in this motherfucker through
sure
thick
am.
And thin. She's taking load shots to the face. She's done it
so
all.
So many load
she
shots.
She don't give a fuck. She still shows up to the dance, and I'm very happy you're married. You look prettier than ever. You're always welcome to visit us here whenever you're in town.
Thanks.
And for you motherfuckers, I love you. I'll be seeing Bob Lalingus and Josh from 10th Planet and All By Boys Friday in Chicago at the Chicago Theater, 8 o'clock. Kate Quigley and Dean Del Rey will be there fucking around. So I'll see you cocksuckers then. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. And I'll see you for Rosh Hashanah. Happy Rosh Hashanah to the Jewish community. I love you guys. And don't forget, 1-800-GAMBLER. Kick this fucking muley.
That's it.